Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. That's my new name. Yeah. I like that. Hey, hi. Yeah. No. Yeah. Hey, go, Frankie. Come on. Louder. Okay, Frankie, I know you're loud. Hi, everybody. Hello. Hello. Hiya. Okay, you guys. Wow. Hello, it's Red. Oh, but I'm going to be, if I'm not on, it's just live. I am live, and you're live, and everybody's live. Okay, go, okay, now, that's enough. Okay, come on, Frankie. Thank you. Hey, hello world, it's me. Hey guys and girls, I hope all's well. If it isn't, tell them everybody to go to hell. Excuse my language. Oh my. Okay, so the number is to talk to me is 347-826-7154. And if you want a customized tape that you people are leaving a message, do it. Phone me on 1-800. Doesn't cost you anything to phone me. 1-800-333-LAFF. So it's really 1-800-333-5233. Okay, now where are we? We're going to talk. Well, it's going to be philosophy time, my favorite subject. I could philosophize for the rest of my life, which I do, with a hole in my shoe. Okay, here we go. We're going to go from Darwin, thanks to its thinking humanity helping on this, from Darwin to Einstein. How did brilliant minds spend their everyday lives? Interesting. Brilliant minds that are philosophers. Oh, just a minute. Okay. That moved. Now we're live again. From Darwin to Einstein, how did brilliant minds spend their everyday lives? Okay, so we're going to start off. You know that of all the philosophers, I saw this on television, on Ancient Aliens on Friday night. It's going to be a great one. It's going to be called The Ultimate Evidence this Friday on the History Channel at 8 o'clock, 8 p.m. History Channel. Okay. Now, they talked about Einstein being the most famous and best philosopher of them all. Okay, here we go. We're going to go to hold on, I got to turn Einstein. Oh, yeah. Yes. This is how brilliant minds work in their everyday lives. Einstein emigrated to the U.S. in 1933, where he worked as a professor at Princeton until his retirement in 1945. His everyday life was simple. I like that, simple. That means simple to me, if you look in the dictionary, means being straightforward. forward, saying it like it is. I love it. He took breakfast at 9 a.m. and 10 while reading morning newspapers. At 10:30, he went to his office in Princeton. He went there walking when the weather was good, or he took the university bus. He returned home for lunch around 1. He took a nap, and Dad had a cup of tea. He spent the rest of his afternoon at home, working and arranging his correspondence. His dinner was 6:30. Despite his simple way of living, Einstein was a prominent figure in Princeton, known not only for his scientific achievements, but also for his abstraction and his careless look. He had long hair to avoid visiting the barber, and he didn't wear socks because he found them useless. While he was walking to his office, many people stopped him because they wanted to meet the great scientist. As a fellow of his stated, Einstein posed with his fans and their families and chatted with them. Later, he continued walking and murmured, "The old elephant did his job again." Wow. Thank you, Einstein. You know what? One phrase I really love about Albert Einstein is, "God does not play dice with the world." You got to stay on, talking about that, you got to stay on a higher vibration. That's the secret. I don't know if you can hear me from here. I'm not really. The universe is not punishing you or blessing you, okay? The universe is responding to your vibrational attitude that you are emitting. Thanks, Abraham. So you got to stay on a high as much as you can. And I don't mean on drugs and rock and roll. I mean your heart. The heart is more intelligent than the mind, and we know that. Okay, here we go with Alexander Graham Bell, as known as a philosopher. Yes. Okay, when he was young, Bell used to work all the time. He only slept for 3 or 4 hours every night. However, after his marriage and after his wife's pregnancy, Bell was convinced to work less and relax more. His wife, Maya Bell, made him wake up for her breakfast at 8:30 every morning and also made him relax after their dinner at 7. When he got used to that, Bell understood that his new schedule was better for him and his family. However, his passion for his job didn't let him follow the schedule every day. Every time he had a new idea, he begged his wife to let him work and to release him from his family obligations. In such cases, he could work for even 22 hours in a row, sleepless. Maybell finally, his wife, accepted his undistracted concentration on his work, but not without some disapproval of hers. According to her diary, Maybell was proud for her husband's job, but she was jealous at the same time. Wow. So let's go on with the next one. Ludwig von Beethoven. Oh, wow. This is a good one, maybe. He looks very serious if you saw the picture of him. Now, listen, I can't get over these guys getting up so early. I'm telling you. You know, it's amazing when they had it on Ancient Aliens that the people that were alone most of the time were the ones that were closer to, well, Atlanteans, they said on the television, were the aliens. that are supposedly connecting to us, and the positive ones, and plus probably the negative, well, if there is negative ones, I don't want to think negative, but if there is, then that person would be thinking negative ideas. Anyway, let's get back to Ludwig van Beethoven, 1822 to 1827. What? That's it? Okay. Beethoven got up early again to start working. His breakfast was a cup of coffee. He considered that each cup of coffee required 60 coffee beans. That's why he often counted them one by one. Then he started working until 2 or 3. He took a break. He took a walk at the countryside. At night, he usually went to the theater, stayed at home to read. His dinner was simple, such as a soup. He enjoyed drinking wine with his dinner, and after that he wanted to drink a glass of beer and smoke his pipe. He didn't usually play the music at night. He went to sleep around 10 o'clock. Beethoven's unusual bad bathing habits are worth noting here, okay? According to his pupil and secretary, Anton Schindler, washing and bathing were among the most pressing necessities of Beethoven's life. In this respect, he was indeed an Oriental. To his way of thinking, Mohammed did not exaggerate in the number of ablutions he prescribed. If he did not dress to go during the morning working hours, he would stand in great dishabille at his washstand and pour large pitchers of water over his hands, bellowing up and down the scale at some times, humming loudly to himself. Then he would stride around his room with rolling and staring eyes, jot something down, then resume his pouring of water and loud singing. These were moments of deep meditation to which no one could have objected, but for two unfortunate consequences. First of all, the servants would often burst out laughing. This made the master angry, and he would sometimes assault them in language that made him cut an even more ridiculous figure. Or secondly, he would come into conflict with the landlord. Hold on. With the landlord. For all too often, so much water was spilled at it. Went right through the floor. This was one unpopularity. The large room would have had to be covered with asphalt to prevent all that water from seeping through. And the master was totally unaware of the excess of inspiration under his feet. Karl Marx. Aha! Karl Marx. He arrived at London as a political refugee in 1849, thinking that he would only stay there for some months. However, he spent the rest of his life in this city. According to Isaiah Berlin, Marx also had his daily habits. Oh boy, they all are in the habit. Though not quite as well balanced, his mode of living consisted of daily visits to the British Museum reading room, where he normally remained from 9 in the morning until it closed at 7. This was followed by long hours at work at night, accompanied by ceaseless smoking, which from a luxury had become an indispensable anodyne. This affected his health permanently, and he became liable to frequent attacks of a disease of the liver, sometimes accompanied by body and arch inflammation of the eyes, which interfered with his work, exhausted and irritated him, and interrupted his never certain means of livelihood. I am plagued like Job, though not so God-fearing, he wrote in 1858. So we go, Darwin, let's see who we have here. Did you go into detail with Sigmund Freud? Who's this now? This is... Where's Plato? I like Plato. Do you like Plato? I like Plato. Call in 347-826-7154. 7154 again, I repeat. 8347-826-7154. Now we're going to do a little philosophies. Ours. Dear human, you've got it all wrong. You didn't come here to master unconditional love. That is where you came from and where you will return. You came here to learn personal love, universal, messy love, sweaty love, crazy love, broken love, whole love, infused with divinity, live through the grace of stumbling, demonstrating through the beauty of messing up often. You didn't come here to be perfect. You already are. You cannot. You came here to be gorgeously human, flawed and fabulous, and then to rise again into remembering. I have a spiritual teacher that would say she's going, oh, I'm going to this workshop. And I'd say to her, why are you going to the workshop? You're spiritually reading all the time and everything. You know, what is the ultimate? The ultimate is unconditional love. That's all you have to do. Okay, back to love again. Love. Because when you love, you are using the greatest power in the universe. Yes. Next. I love those people you can joke around with and have so much fun with and then have a deep conversation with, and it's not weird at all. Don't let people make you feel bad or guilty for living your life. It is your life. You live it the way you want. And I give everybody permission, world, to take that in hand. Physical attractions are common, but a mental connection is rare. Once you had the latter, the former will never be enough again. It is so true. The mental connection is a soul connection. The more you are motivated by love, the more fearless and free your actions will be. Yes, yes, yes. Okay. The world we have created is a product of our thinking. It cannot be changed without changing our thinking. Thank you, Albert Einstein. Einstein, I really love you. Do you know what a freak is? Let me read it to you. A person who is envied because they are a fabulously unique individual that can kick ass and has no need or desire to follow the flock. Amen. It is time to go and leave the past behind. Exile the thoughts of painful memories. You have learned what they have taught you. And I'm going to tell you that about gratitude. Gratitude is the best attitude. Let me tell you, number one. Gratitude will shift you to a higher frequency, and you will attract much better things. So true. I mean, if I come to a light that's green, I got gratitude. My attitude is I'm so happy that I got a green light. That's simple. Not crazy about red lights myself. Now, to be beautiful means to be yourself. You don't need to be accepted by others. You need to accept yourself. Yes. You're the greatest. See, a lot of the pain that we are dealing with are really only our thoughts. So thoughts can be changed. Call in. Most women desire someone who makes them laugh and also feel safe. So basically, a clown ninja. But most men desire some woman that makes them laugh too. So it's same. Okay, next. This is by Kevin Cruz. Life isn't about getting and having. It's about giving and being. And talking about being, when you're being, you really don't know what you're doing. Because you're being. Can't think of what you're doing. Okay, now this is from The Secret, which I love so much. The only reason why people do not have what they want is because they're thinking more about what they don't want than what they do want. So listen to your thoughts and listen to the words you're saying. The law is absolute and there are no mistakes. Oh boy, I wish there was sometimes. Sometimes following your heart means losing your mind. I like that one. The soul usually knows what to do to heal itself. The challenge is to silence the mind. Amen on that one. Wise souls speak loudly in silence. Next. Let go of the past, and the past will let go of you. Now, something here that I wanted to say, and I think it's right here. We're doing Be Simple, 6 Philosophies for a Stress-Free Existence, okay? Number one, release your control. Okay? Everything in the universe has a natural order. By honoring this balance, you are one step closer to achieving a stress-free lifestyle. When you take excessive control over your life or the lives of others, you're creating an imbalance in your environment that may cause tension, irritability, and damage relationships. An overwhelming desire for control stems from an inability to trust yourself and your ability to face life's challenges. Trusting allows you to gain the confidence to have faith in others and accept the unknown. When you recognize the universe's powerful ability to realign what is out of order, the anxiety of yesterday will become a distant memory. Okay, number two, appreciate the simple things. Yes, I double that one. We live in a chaotic world filled with stress that we create. When we overemphasize the material, we lose touch with some of the simple, beautiful things life has to offer. observing nature, indulging in laughter, which I love. If only I can respond to laughter and make you laugh. But I haven't got time to answer the phones right now, so next time. Where are we, do things? Okay, when we overemphasize the material things, we lose touch with some of the simple, beautiful things life has to offer. Okay, we're going observing nature, indulging in laughter, the joy of good food and connecting with loved ones, to name only a few. By reconnecting with life's simple foundations, you'll find your center and naturally attract abundance. Remove yourself from the matrix of unnecessary stress created by society. Call an old friend, watch a comedy, take a walk, and infuse love into the food you cook. That is so true. Observe the long-term horizon. When we are stressed, we may fail to observe the long-term horizon and focus instead on the chaos of the present moment. In order to combat anxiety, it is important to observe life on a long-term scale. So imagine yourself in this moment several years from now. Will you be the same person struggling with this? Oh, I guess I have to. Oh, I got 2 minutes and 39 seconds. Why are you cutting me off? Meditate on prosperity and love who you are. I can't read them all because I'm afraid that you won't. They might cut me off. Embrace the change. Can't read anymore because I don't know if they're going to cut me off. I'm not going to read it anyway. Meditate on prosperity. Oh, no. They're giving me 60 seconds. So, hey, you guys and girls and wonderful people, I wish you a great week. And I'm going to have Swami Sanjeev from India next Monday. See you then. Love you all. Come on. Love you all. Come on. Bye, everybody. Well, I'm going to wait till they're 60 seconds. They're lying to me. I don't like people who lie. Okay. Yeah. Have a great week, guys. Swami Sanjeev next week, next Monday. Yay. Stay up there. Stay high. Love you all. And goodbye. And goodbye, Frankie. We had enough of you. You're gone. Take care. Bye.